Now, over the years, I've been talking with Nicola Orata McDonald, who's been very innovative in the challenge to rid the seafloor of Kolerpa. Now, it spreads just, it's such an invasive species that for a time, I think many of us thought, well, we just can't beat it. But she went on a trip across to Norway, and I just touched in on a couple of aspects of this because yesterday I was talking with Peter Tipene, who's been in the north and saw an article. You might source it if you're interested in the Bay of Islands that are looking to utilise or to repurpose some machinery which effectively planes the Kolerpa, and it differs from the sophisticated unit that Nicola had been trying to source out of Norway. So now Nicola is from Ngāti Monuhiri Settlement Trust. I've given the our listeners a bit of an overview of how come we're talking today, because you found this unit in Norway, travelled there, and I was just trying to pick up on another effort that's happening in the Bay of Islands, which you're of yesterday, a repurposed tractor or something, but this planes the Kolerpa rather than the unit that you were sourcing. Thank you for joining us, Nicola. Tēnā koe. Just an update on where we're at with these issues, please.
Yes, well, I'll talk about the new technology that is being trialled up in Omakiwi by a private company, Andrew Johnson's company. They're a dredging company that have worked for many, many years up in the Bay of Islands. So they've been funded by the Ministry of Primary Industries, Biosecurity New Zealand, Northland Regional Council. They've received significant funds to develop technology that hopefully can help combat exotic Kolerpa that is up there. They've released a new platform, which is a type of dredging planer. It will, as I understand, it planes across thick, dense, heavy meadows of Kolerpa, which are, and up in the Omakiwi area, it's on sandy, flat bottoms. So, you know, we're hopeful that it will add some relief. It is a trial. There are indications that it's a planing effect where it will come across. There's always going to be risk of fragmentation when we carry out those types of activities. But, you know, there's a lot of public funds that have gone into this venture. And so I'm going to be keeping a close watch and hoping that it gets the results that that are expected without too much damage to the environment. Now, flipping over, you go, Dale.
Oh, no. I'm hoping that the efforts you were advancing, which was sourcing this Norwegian machinery, that too attracted some significant Biosecurity NZ and public funding as well, Nicola.
Well, I'd like to say it did attract, but I haven't received 1 cent from Biosecurity. But you know, I don't let those things stop me at all. This is something that you know, as Māori, that we absolutely are invested in ensuring our taiao is thriving for our mokopuna, for our next generation. So we have self-funded our investigation and our research. What it's looking like is up in Norway, which when I spoke to you last, I went up there. I actually drove the underwater tractors myself. I could see that there was really minimal damage to the seafloor, which pose a lot of great hope, because that's what we don't want to put sort of like bulldozers in the bloody sea and then next minute we're ripping the earth, you know, ripping up the seafloor. We don't want that. So these combi harvesters, underwater combi harvesters, we are looking at bringing those back home by the end of the year to do a trial in our waters in the Hauraki Gulf. I have had hapu and whānau from the north reach out and ask if we would be able to trial there as well, which I think is a good idea because every underwater environment is slightly different. It's perfect if you've got flat sandy bottoms. Well, that's easy. That's just putting the lawnmower out and mowing the lawn, really. But if we're dealing with reefs and rocky, you know, outcrops, all of those sort of things, a little bit different. So it's great that we'll trial in a couple of areas. And if this technology works, you know, listeners, you can bet your bottom dollar on this. I will go to government and I will be saying to government, you need to fund this. Because everybody needs to have access. Not one company, not one iwi, it's for everyone.
Tēnā koe. It differs, the machinery that you were looking at in Norway, doesn't it? Now, you've described the one, it's somewhat modified. There's some info on the net if you're interested in this. And Nicole has described it quite well. It's like lawn mowing, but that's suitable on sandy bottoms. But if you plane Kalerpa, as we do when you mow lawns, I mean, hey, they just grow back. So yes, is that right. Actually going to eradicate the problem or just keep it at bay, hold it at bay somewhat?
Yeah, I doubt that it's going to eradicate. I doubt that it's going to eliminate, but it will remove volume. And possibly with the removal of volume, because we're talking hundreds of hectares now, up in Omakiwi, over on Great Barrier Island, you know, it's completely out of control. And I think we have to take a bit of a pragmatic approach. So this planing platform may help reduce volume. And then we need to look at, all right, what do we now need to do when we've reduced volume? How do we remove and eliminate this? And the only way to do that, as far as I can see at this stage, is we actually have to suction vacuum it out. And we need to be able to do that at volume, and we need a lot of energy to get this going. And I'm hopeful that the Norwegian tractors may be able to add relief to this situation. I think it's going to take a couple of tools. I don't think that's a one size fits all, but we just need to be mindful that everyone is anxious and manage expectations.
Tēnā koe. So you're not competing with what is going on at Omakiwi, quite the contrary. Keen to see how it works. What about the disposal once you've given it a haircut, so to speak? If it's not disposed of properly, Or do you just bring it out in the light and it dies?
Yes, well, that's the other issue, is how do you dispose when you're dealing at scale and volume? And that's about making sure that when you bring it up, that there is a disposal stations set up for this, for the receiving. We need to treat it very carefully. Although they say once it's out of the water, it dies, but, I mean, we can't afford to take any risk. So we just need to put in place all the right measures to ensure that once you bring that kalupa up, it's removed, it's managed safely. We're absolutely certain that there's no risk of regrowth on land, in water, and then we can then think about, okay, are we taking this to landfills? Are we going to look at other, perhaps repurposing? All of those things need to be factored. And I'm certain that the communities up in the far north that have been working on this will have taken all of that into account. Certainly for us in the Hauraki Gulf, the intention is once we remove the kalupa from the Hauraki Gulf, it'll be coming across to mainland. We've got a depot station already ready to go, and we'll monitor it. Once we know that that it is no longer toxic, then we'll start to dispose properly.
Thanks for taking our call. I'm interested in this, and many of our listeners will be as well. So keep us posted as it all unfolds. Thanks again for all the effort you're putting in.
I definitely will.
Thank you so much. Good to talk with you, Nicola.
Thank you.
Ngā mihi. Nicola Orata McDonald's, the Tumu Whakarau Chief Executive, Ngāti Manuhiri Settlement Trust.